Welcome to another edition of an Artifacts Your Journey. I'm your host, Philip J. Merrill, and today I don't have my trusted sidekick because she is off doing mama sidekick duties, which are very, very important to us, which is putting Queen Isabella to sleep for her nap. I'm extra excited today because I have a young man that really impressed me from get-go. I met him at the South Piedmont Community College in Monroe during a African American History Month presentation. I'm a very spiritual person, and my vibes, my spirit said that this man was unique and there was something about him that drew me to him. So without further ado, I would like for this gentleman to introduce himself. All yours.
Hey, how you doing? First thing first, I want to say I appreciate you for having me here. I love to be here. My name is Cornelius Dunlap. I am from Anson County, and I did meet you in the Monroe County. So thank you for having me here, and I can't wait to get started.
Okay, well, we're started, brother. We're started.
yes, sir.
So tell me who you are and why in the world do you think our listening audience needs to listen to your message, your story?
Well, the reason why I believe they need to listen to me is because I am a young man and I've been through a lot in my life. And one of the reasons why that I do what I do is because when I was growing up, I didn't have somebody to lead me down the right path. I didn't really have somebody to kick me in the butt and tell me, hey, you need to get on the right path. I never had none of that. And you see the climate today. We have kids getting incarcerated as young as 14, young as 15. You know, we're getting kids that's getting killed, coffins is out in the grave. And I'm just thinking in my mind, what if they just had one person, just one person in their life and just be like, you know what? I'm going to listen to you. I didn't have somebody in my life to tell me, but you sound like you know what you're talking about. And I'm going to listen to you. So my name is Cornelius Dunlap. And I believe I was put here on this earth to lead the generation out of whatever misery we in today.
Oh, amen, brother. Can I get the people in the back of the church to say amen? That was quite an introduction. So to keep it moving, talk to me about how you got to South Piedmont and what type of life-altering experience you had one day.
Okay, well, I mean, it's very simple. I'm an ex-truck driver. I still hold my CDLs and my DOT card, but I'm an ex-truck driver. And one day I was driving in Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana. Isn't there a connection to Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5?
But Gary? Yes, that's where they're from. Yes, Gary. Yes, sir.
Throw that in.
So I was driving in Gary, Indiana, and I was just on the interstate, and I just broke down in tears behind the steering wheel. And I was asking myself, what is my life? What did God create me for? What is my purpose on this earth? And so I start to think what it is that I'm supposed to give back. And it all revolved around service of people. And so I had to take my journey to learning how I can be a service of two people and enjoy it and love it at the same time. So fast forward, I quit my job. I went to South Piedmont because once I figured out my career and what I wanted to do, I said, you know what? Now I need the education. I need to get the backing and I need to be able to do this by myself, and God will open up the doors for anybody else to come through my life. So I went to school. I'm going to school currently at the moment. And at the same time, I'm able to use my truck driving experience to teach people to drive trucks as well. So I am a student and I'm also an instructor at the South Piedmont Community College. And that was my journey, my transition from trucking to going to SPCC.
That's quite a story. So you're driving these 18 wheel rigs that you see speeding up and down the interstate. Making a lot of coin. You secured that bag, so to speak, right? Making some real.
Oh, yes.
And
you can say that.
You were willing to give that up because you ultimately found your purpose.
Yes, 1,000%. For me, it was not about the money. Just being a businessman, whenever you're walking in your calling, you know money is to come. Money is going to be there.
Yes.
But I told myself, really asked myself, can I live the rest of my life without walking in my purpose. Regardless if I was making, I tell you, I was making north of $150,000 a year. And I'm like, can I make $1 million but be unhappy?
Yes, you can make that money and still be unhappy.
Right? Well, yes, the answer is yes. But for me, I didn't want that lifestyle. I didn't want to be unhappy. So I said, what can I do to make money, but to give back, to be happy, to live a legacy? And once I put together my plan, I said, I cannot drive and work in the trucking field another day knowing what my purpose is in my life. And that was the transition to school. And I'm still in a transition at the moment.
Okay, so in finding your purpose, it connects to us because I found my purpose, which is African-American history and culture. And that's how we got to you, was through me doing my walk, my ministry. And yes, I know that everything is not about the dollar when you're doing his work.
Yes.
And
correct.
Anytime a black man can reach out and connect with another black man that's on the right path, I think it's our obligation. I think it's something yes. that we need to do. And so the least I can do is to now become, I don't want to say a mentor, but a friend, a colleague, a confidant, or a shoulder that you can lean on as you continue down this different entrepreneurial path where you are affecting change of young men and women that are in need, whether they realize it or not. So with that said, tell me about what you've created and how you are moving forward with getting this information out.
Well, the first thing I created was a book. I am an accomplished published author. My book is actually called, it's right here, as you can see it. My book is called Golden Nuggets, 12 Principles for Unawakening Your Inner Champion.
Who helped you create this concept and where did it come from? Were you in a truck or were you in the cornfields? Were you at a bakery?
I was in both.
I'm sorry?
I was in both. I was in both a truck and cornfield. No, I was actually still trucking, and I was speaking at the same time. I have spoken in middle schools and prisons and colleges, and my mentor at the time, he told me, he said, you cannot go to an organization and you cannot leave something behind. Right. That's what he told me. And he said the number one thing that'll help you get into schools and leave something behind is a book. And he said, you just need to write a book. And he said, every speaker in the world should have a book, is what he told me.
Two or three or five or 10, right.
Two, three, five or 10, 20. And that's what happened. So I brainstormed on what it was that I want to give. Right. You know, the book is not necessary. It's not necessarily my life story. It's what the subtopic said was unawakening your inner champion. And the concept is that you have a lot of kids that has so much greatness inside them, but they don't know because at a young age, they never was told that they are a champion. They never was told that they can be anything. You have parents, teachers that's just beating them like, you need to do this and you need to go to school, but yet and still you haven't built them up to understand why and you are a champion. So before I start to speak to anybody, what I do first is let them know how amazing they are. I let them know that they are a champion. Let them know that they have already conquered what it is they set out. They just have to put the work, time, energy, and dedication in order to get it.
I love it. And see, you know what? That speaks to me because I got all that at home. I was blessed and fortunate that my mother, my father, my great-grandmother, Nanny Jack, you know, I named my business Nanny Jack and Company after my great-grandmother, who was a midwife. Mm-hmm. I got that every day at home. So I knew I was somebody. I knew I was a champion. I knew I was intelligent, that I was handsome, that I was this and I was that. So that held me in good stead as I went out into the difficult world. See, so you didn't get that at home or didn't get that in the community. And now you see the importance of that and you're trying to fulfill that void by offering what you do, correct?
Correct, 1,000%. That is the reason why I do, because I often think what I didn't get, and I often think if I would have got that. I'm 35 years old now. I have an understanding of what it is that I want and need in life, But there are some kids that's 12, like when I was 12. There are some kids that's 15 that doesn't know and have it worse than I have.
Yeah.
Or had back in the past. And I'm like, I could be that pillar, that light to them. I could be that light in the dark place. And that's what I just try to do. I just try to give it to them. If it's through a book, if it's through a podcast, or if it's in person, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm created for.
And we're going to put this up on our platform. How can someone reach you if they want to, A, buy your book, B, contract with you to come in to give a talk, or C, just a young person that's kind of feeling their way out and just wants to talk to you? How can someone reach you?
Well, the first thing is my email. Simplest plain, let the conversation begin at gmail.com. I repeat, the email you can reach me is let the conversation begin at gmail.com.
I love
also,
it.
Also, I'm on social media. Okay, all so social media is I am Cornelius Dunlap. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, you type in I am Cornelius Dunlap. And I will, all my platforms will pop up. And for my book, it is sold on Amazon. You can go to Amazon and you can type in my name, Cornelius Dunlap, and I will be the top listed person on the Amazon platform. Or you can type in the title, 12 Principles for Unawakening Your Inner Champion, Golden Nuggets.
Okay, I love it. So when did you create this book?
I started writing it in July of 2019. And it was published in March of 2020. I want to say this about doing something that you're passionate about. I created this book. I wrote it out. I didn't know you were supposed to type the book to send it to the editor. I didn't know how I wrote this book down in my hand.
Hello.
right. So I was working 17 hours a day with driving trucks and working events, and I only had 2 hours of sleep. So I told myself at the end of every day, I'm going to dedicate 30 minutes a day to my book. So when I got done working, I would go to my hotel and I would write 30 minutes. If it was a sentence or if it was a whole chapter, I would write until this book was complete. That process took me probably 6 to 8 months to complete. And let me tell you, I was exhausted. I was tired, but I got it out. I persevered and I was able to get it out.
What I love about what I just heard from you is perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, due diligence, and trying to implement something at any cost, meaning that you were willing to forgo sleep, you were willing to forgo mental duress and stress and fatigue, but you had a vision, a dream, and you were going to stick to it until it was completed. That in itself is a role model experience that you can talk about to younger people, because it's so easy today to be a quitter. It's so easy to give up.
Right.
Because there's so many external pressures that are against us. When I say us, I'm talking about human beings of all ages, but especially in the preteen and teenage space right now. I commend you for that. And I got to go back to something. Can you briefly reflect back on what growing up in Anson County was like during your teenage years for our listening audience that does not know?
Yes. Growing up, for me, it was just another day. And what I mean by that, being a child, you don't know what you don't know. I say it that way. What I mean by that, I didn't know I was growing up in poverty. I didn't know I was growing up poor. I didn't know the school system in Anson County was in the bottom 10 out of the whole state.
Say that again. The bottom 10 out of the whole state of North Carolina?
Out of the entire state, Anson County School District. And it's, I think it's in the bottom 5 at this moment. But at the time I was growing, I didn't know Anson County School District was in the bottom 10 in the whole entire state. So I didn't know that. And, you know, I didn't know I grew up in a broken household. My mom and dad was divorced when I was 5 years old. I thought that was normal. I thought coming home to just a father was normal until I got older and I saw my friends having a father and a mother in the house. I thought that was normal. But growing up in Anson County, it still afforded me time to be a child. It's, you know, in the badness, there's still some goodness around. It still afforded me the time to go out and meet friends. It still afforded me the time to get relationships with people. And even still till today, some of the relationships is pushing through in my life just because I went and introduced myself to somebody when I was 11 and 12. But Anson County, I'm going to be honest, it's sad to say this. It's a good place to be. But if you grew up in Anson County, you need to at least move out, move away. You have to, because it's dying out here, man. And that's why I am who I am, because I want to bring life to the county that I was raised in.
Okay, so I like what you were saying. So does that mean that you're from Anson County, you're going out, making a difference, impacting not only the local area, but the region and in the country, and getting some education, and you want to come back and try to improve the Anson County community?
Yes, 100%. I moved away when I graduated. I moved away. I went to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Don't know if you heard of that.
Yes, I have.
I went to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I stayed there for about 10 years, along with me driving truck. And I just had a strong conviction. My two strongest conviction was to get my relationship right with my mom and my dad. Yes. That was my first one. And my second one was to come back home, because I know some of the kids that are going through the exact same stuff I'm going through in the same city that I was raised in. They need help. They need help. So right now, I'm actually a mentor at the Hollis Center in Morven, North Carolina. I'm a mentor there. I'm a substitute teacher.
What part of North Carolina? Could you slow down and give it to me again, please?
I got you. I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to slow it now. I got you.
Nice.
Morven.
Spell
there
that.
There we go. Morven, Morven. It's in Anson County. It's okay, still in Anson County.
That's what I want to know. Thank you. Okay, got you.
It's in Anson County. It's a city in Anson County. Is called Morven, North Carolina, and the development center is called HOLLA, HOLLA. And I'm a mentor there. Well, we have a rites of passage program there. I'm over that at the moment. And, you know, I'm a substitute teacher as well, along with being an instructor at the South Piedmont Community College. So I'm just starting back in the same county that I was raised in, hopefully I can give back. And the funny thing is, let me tell you this, most of the people who knew me when I was young, they cannot believe that I'm doing the things that I'm doing now, just because they knew how I was. like because the trouble that I got in,
let me cut you off, Neil. Are they wondering if you fell and bumped your head?
Yes, they think I'm a clone. Okay, I'm a clone. They think I'm somebody else. You a school teacher? They're like, no, this cannot be right.
So when I saw you for the second time in Anson County at the South Piedmont Community College campus, that was home. That was your hood. That was your neighborhood. That was your territory.
Yes.
So when you saw the students there and how they interacted with us in our presentation, what was going through your mind?
What was really going through my mind is that these kids, you're going to hear me say this a lot, they just don't know what they don't know. And the information you was giving them, look, 100%, let me just say this. These kids are searching for answers. They searching for the truth.
Yes.
But there's a lot of organizations that don't want to teach the actual truth. Right. And Mr. Phillip, when you came and you gave them the truth, I was vindicated, because I was like, man, somebody gets it. Somebody, and I want to show you something, how much of an impact you made on me. Let me show you something.
All right, please do.
After you spoke, I went down to my old house and I got my doorknob.
I'm not lying.
I went down to my old house and I got the doorknob from my house. Our house is boarded up. It haven't been livable ever since 2015. And I said, you know what? I have to start a history bank for my kids. Right. And this is the first piece in my history bank. Yes, sir. Wanted to show you that. Okay. So that the information you was given is so impactful. And I don't know if you noticed, but when you were speaking to the crowd, I was looking how intentful they were to you. I was looking how they was, nobody was asleep. And right. Everybody eyes was wide open and they was soaking in. And it was, do you remember the first question you received from that young lady? That was a powerful question. And I was like, man, these kids really want to know the truth. But like I said, there's organizations that's purposely trying to suppress the truth from these kids in history.
Well, okay. So I love all that. And to dovetail the state of America right now is not about truth seeking. I like to consider myself as a truth seeker and a truth deliverer. When you have banned books in the library, when you have false narratives in the media, when you have the hierarchy of the bureaucracy and the government lying, and lying becomes the norm, the truth is no longer relevant. And so it makes it even more imperative to have organizations like ours and like yours that are out imparting authentic, well-documented, realistic truths to anyone that will listen. So I always start off talking to my about how thankful I am that I have a group that's willing to listen to me, because that's not afforded to everyone. That's not afforded to everyone. That's a blessing. And so I did not notice what you're doing, because when I make my lectures around the country, whether they be on Zoom or in person or wherever they are, I get into a zone. I get, it's almost like that preacher up at the podium. All of a sudden the spirit comes over and then I'm there. So I can pay attention to some things, but a lot of things I don't see because I'm locked and loaded. You with me?
Right. Yes, you was locked and loaded that day. Both of them.
And nobody knows how tired I was, because as the old folks used to say, no way's tired, and I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey.
Right.
I just want to say that day, the second day, there were more younger folks there that I felt we reached at the Anson County campus than we did at the Monroe County campus. I was pleasantly surprised at the questions, then head nodding, and just the overall ability to listen to me share the bitter with the sweet, because not everything that I said was sugarcoated, and I'm not a sugarcoated kind of person. As I wrap this up, what would be one thing that you would like to impart to our listening audience that has been a game changer for you in your life with allowing you to do what you do?
It's something simple. I'm really trying to get away from clothing brands, but one brand I cannot get away from is Nike. And the reason why is just for them three words: just do it, just do it. And what I mean by that is you have so many people that has goals, dreams, that has a purpose, but the number one disease in the entire world is fear. I'm going to say that again. The number one disease in the entire world is fear, false evidence appearing real. And a lot of people do not go for what it is they call to do because of that fear. But I want to take that word fear and just put just doing in there, because you would be so much happier going after your goals and failing. Yes. Then working at a McDonald's or a Walmart for your whole entire life, and you know in your heart you're supposed to be doing something else. So I want to impart to everybody was created with a purpose. I don't care who you are, to the least or to the greatest, you have a purpose in your life. And what you have to do is know that purpose first and then just do it. And do not let the fear consume you with living a mediocre life, staying in a position that you believe is comfortable, just to die off and wither away. I'm praying and I'm asking everybody who can hear my voice, please just do it.
That's outstanding. What a great way to end this podcast. And I just have to tell you, I'm more impressed with you now than I was in my first time meeting you, the second time, and then our pre-podcast practice. We're here to be a part of your movement. I'm just honored to meet a young man of your ilk that's on the right path, that's improving lives. I give you the hat tip, the kudos, and the thank you for finding your purpose. As you know, I found mine. May both of us continue to help countless others find their purpose in this journey.
Thank you. And I want to end by saying this to you. I really do appreciate you taking your time, you, your wife, your mother, y'all giving your time to me, because even though that I can speak eloquent to the world and let them know what they should do or not, I still need guidance myself. I really do. And I came to you and I just asked you a question, and immediately you said, come to my platform, just come to my podcast and let's speak about it. And that's why we're here today. And like I said, I never had this, but I'm getting it now. God is putting people in my life, and I cannot be no happier than what's happening right now. So I appreciate you, your family. I know your time is precious. You didn't have to be here, but you were here, and you are here. And I thank you for that. So that's all I want to say. Just thank you, man. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And you will see us again, no doubt. God bless you. And I can't wait to chat with you again. Peace be with you as you go out here and change lives. Peace,
thank you.
Take care. Thank you.